Let's take our Bibles and turn, if you would, with me to Genesis chapter number 40. Genesis chapter number 40. We have been studying the life of Joseph on Sunday evenings. We made a switch some time ago. It was Sunday morning study, and we switched it to Sunday evening study. And we come now to Genesis chapter number 40, and we've looked particularly at Joseph being cast into prison. And so we saw that he was falsely accused, and we find now Joseph in the dungeon in Genesis chapter number 40. And we come to verse number 1. If you notice, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker and had offended their lord the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. You didn't know they had those, right, in the Bible? They do. They have birthdays. And he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I'd like to draw your attention to that verse we just read at the end of chapter number 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I would like to preach this evening a message that I've entitled, as we look at the life of Joseph again in this whole chapter, Faithful to God and Forgotten of Man. Faithful to God and forgotten of man. Now it is difficult for us, I think, when we read Bible accounts such as those that we find in our text this evening, to put ourselves in Joseph's shoes. Since we know the rest of the account, we tend to neglect the great grief that Joseph was going through in dealing with his circumstances. Joseph had faced 2 injustices at this point, and both are mentioned in verse number 15. And this is from his own words. Notice verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Those two injustices are the following. First, he was sold because of his brother's hatred. And second, he was shackled because of a woman's lust. Both of those are injustices. Joseph had been completely innocent of any evil up to this point. I would like to consider three things that Joseph had on his mind in this moment as a prisoner by way of an introduction in verse number 15. Notice again, he says, For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. There are three things I want us to note about Joseph before we go to our text this evening, and that is this. First of all, so that we can put ourselves into the shoes of Joseph, first of all, he was betrayed by those familiar. He was betrayed by those who were familiar. His brethren, remember, had sold him as a slave. That is his own flesh and blood. These were his brothers that, as we saw in chapter number 37, they envied him. They hated him when he had the dreams. They hated him even yet the more. And so we find that those that betrayed him were familiar to him. When we see Joseph being sold as a slave, understand he was not sold as a slave by strangers. He was sold as a slave by his very brothers. Think about how that would be a great burden to him during this time. But also, he was not only betrayed by his brethren and sold him as a slave, but also his master's wife accused him of immorality. That was also someone that was familiar to him. As Joseph had been placed in a position of second in command in the palace of Potiphar, we know that he was certainly familiar with Potiphar's wife, and the name is not given of her, but we know that he was familiar with her, and so understand that he was betrayed in two instances by those who were familiar to him. Now, I think we all understand that there's a greater degree of hurt that happens in our own lives when we are betrayed or harmed by someone that is familiar to us. I think that we could safely say that people that are not familiar to us, that hurt us, is not really as a big deal as those to whom we are familiar with. And so this again, as we look at Joseph in Genesis 40, before we read our passage, we consider that he was betrayed by those familiar, but also secondly, he was burdened by falsehood. You see, not only did he was betrayed, but he was also burdened. He was, remember, by his brothers, he was accused of pride. They envied him. They said, "Oh, you dreamer, you." Right? When he gave the dream, they held him in contempt. They thought to himself, "But he's just a prideful young man. He's the youngest of all of us, and he wants to reign over us." And so they accused him of pride. It's interesting that there's a similar pattern throughout the Word of God. When young men want to serve God, that is the same charge that is given to them. Think about David. Remember when he went to the battlefront and he said, "Is there not a cause?" His brothers just says, like, "Wow, you're just full of it. You're full of pride." And think about it, so we see he was burdened by falsehood. Not only was he accused of pride by his brothers, but he was also accused of a crime by his master's wife. That would be another set of burden that would come upon Joseph during this time. And so he's betrayed by those familiar, he's burdened by falsehood, but also thirdly, he was banned from his faculties. We know that Joseph had important responsibilities in the prison. But they did not compare to the position and authority he had in Potiphar's house, nor did they compare to the position and authority he had in his father's house. You see, these three areas are often burdened, they often burden God's people. Therefore, we ask ourselves how to think properly when we are burdened by such things as Joseph was. He's going through the difficult time, and here again, we come to Genesis chapter 40, he's in the dungeon, he's in prison. And not only are those his circumstances, but he knows that he's been betrayed by those familiar, burdened by falsehood, and banned from his faculties. Do we not see that Joseph has the potential to do much more than just to be in charge of a prison cell?
I think we all recognize that as entrusted, as authoritative, as the second in command to his father Jacob, as the second in command to the house of Potiphar, now he is relegated to the dungeon. And we would say that a man, his faculties, his abilities, his talent is not being used. All three things would be a great source of discouragement for Joseph, would they not? In Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, notice we find an important counter to Joseph's burden. So we come here to Genesis chapter 40 with those three things in mind that are no doubt on the mind of Joseph and are certainly on our minds right now. Notice verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison." Notice the place where Joseph was bound. That, what a coincidence, is it not? No, it's not. Notice verse 4. "And the captain of the guard," by the way, that was Potiphar, "charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward." Now, note carefully, notice verse 3 and verse 4. You see, because we find that it just so happens that the place where Joseph was, the chief butler and the chief baker happened to go to the same place where Joseph is. Now, so that we are not ignorant, the chief butler and the chief baker were very prominent position in those days. It's not like we think today, oh, he's just baking cakes for the king and he was just opening the doors for the king. No, those were high office positions in the kingdom of Egypt. So again, when Joseph is going to come in contact with these men, these are significant men. These are men with high offices in the kingdom of Egypt. And so as we come here to those verses here, understand we know that this is not a coincidence. You see, faith is absolutely vital during such a time for Joseph. For he could not see what the Lord was doing behind the scenes. Now see, we know what he was doing behind the scenes, but Joseph did not know. So we must do our best to put ourselves in Joseph's shoes and to see how absolutely necessary faith was during this time. To trust God. All of that was unfolding, took place without the knowledge of Joseph. Therefore, it is important for Joseph to trust God. Men may not have the ability to recognize God's favor upon Joseph, but we should certainly recognize God's favor upon His faithful servant. And so by way of introduction, we see as we come to Genesis chapter 40, we see that he was betrayed by those familiar. He was burdened by falsehood. He was banned from his faculties. But here's the counter to that. He was beloved with favor. Now, we don't think at that moment that Joseph has favor. We don't think he has the favor of God. But he does. You see, we don't see that, but the circumstances of what unfolds and what happens in verse 3 and 4 is clearly the favor of God in the life of Joseph. You see, men, again, we may not have the ability to recognize God's favor, but God's favor was clearly upon his faithful servant Joseph. You see, Joseph's humbling, and this is really what I want us to see before we go to our passage, is that Joseph's humbling would be met with a proportional exaltation. This was true for the life of Joseph as a whole. And I want you to think about that for just a moment as we look at the life of Joseph from before and we look at the life of Joseph afterwards. Think about it. From a brother, he came from being just one of the brothers to be second to Jacob. Then, he went from being a slave to the second to Potiphar. And now, he's going to go from being a prisoner to the second to Pharaoh. Now think about that. Because there is a degree of humbling, but then there's an equal degree of exalting, or of exaltation. And then he becomes a slave, but then he becomes a chief slave, and he becomes a prisoner, but then second to the king. And it seems that there's a degree of humility that is met with a degree of exaltation in the life of Joseph. Therefore, we emphatically state that Joseph was beloved with favor. So with these considerations in mind, we now come to our text to consider three truths about Joseph that I believe can help us as we observe him being faithful to God and at the same time forgotten of man. And this is where we must take comfort in, that we must not live to be remembered of man. We must live to be faithful to God. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is God's great requirement for His people today, that we just would be faithful, and we must never seek for the applause of men. We must never seek for the consideration and the remembrance of men. And so as we observe Joseph here, we consider again the faithfulness, the faithful to God and forgotten of men. And first of all, we consider in our text, his identification was clear. We come to our text and we see Joseph, and notice here in verse number 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Now there's something that is particular about Joseph because of what we just saw in our introduction. He was betrayed, he was burdened, and he was banned. And so we come here now and we think about the mentality or the perspective that Joseph would have with such circumstances, that we would think that Joseph would be troubled, but he doesn't seem troubled. As a matter of fact, there's the first thing we see about Joseph as we identify Joseph, we see that he was steadfast. Chapter verse 3 tells us, notice that he put them in the ward and the house of the captain of the guard, by the way, that's Potiphar, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them that he would serve them. Notice here, we see that Joseph was steadfast. First of all, his service was reliable. You see, here's the captain of the guard, Potiphar, who thinks to himself, I know Joseph very well. And he has so much confidence, and by the way, after being falsely accused, after losing his promotion, after he certainly knew that Joseph had been sold at this point by his brothers, as he was in Hebrew. And so here he looks at Joseph, but yet he has complete confidence in Joseph because Joseph was steadfast. And in his steadfastness, we see that his service was reliable. And I say to us this evening that as Christians, we must understand that we must be found again as faithful. We must be identified as a people who are steadfast. And that means that no matter what our circumstances are, we should be reliable. Joseph doesn't seem whether he was serving at the top or at the bottom. He was always reliable. His service was always the same. He was always given the important tasks. Not only do we see his service was reliable, but we see his service was receivable. In verse 3, notice the Bible says, and he, notice that's Joseph, served them. He served them. Joseph, in prison, you know what that word served? That means he met their need. He gave them what they needed. He perhaps served them food. He looked out for them. The Bible tells us he served them. Now, look, these were prisoners. They were in prison, and yet Joseph served them. You see, Joseph, no matter where he was steadfast. But also, there's a second thing we note about Joseph, and that is he was stoic. Now, to be stoic means to, if you would, to endure pain and hardship without showing feeling and complaining. That is perhaps one of the most amazing things about the life of Joseph. Because unlike Moses, I don't see Joseph complaining. Unlike David, I never see Joseph complaining. Often you will find the man of God who had a position of leadership among the people of God, whether it was Abraham or Jacob or David or Moses, we find those men at some point complaining to God or bringing their problems to God and basically saying, this is not fair what I'm going through. But you never find Joseph as saying any of those things. It seems that Joseph at that moment, he's kind of like unmoved, unfazed by what is going on. Now, we know that he came into that place with great burdens, but here it is clear that he was stoic. He was in his reliability, and that's what identifies Joseph. That's what, by the way, set Joseph apart, because no matter what his circumstances were, he was the same. You know, that is really something that as Christians we should strive for. No matter what our life brings, we are the same. Now, there's two things that I want to see in Joseph. What is it that made him that way? Well, I believe there's two things we see in our text that identifies Joseph as a stoic man. Notice, first of all, he praised God. You say, where do you see that in our text? Well, I believe in verse 8 in some degree, as the Bible says, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? By the way, when Pharaoh dreams a dream in Genesis 41, he's going to say the same thing to Pharaoh. In other words, Joseph in that moment, I think that if anybody had the right to be depressed would be Joseph. But no, he basically says, well, the interpretation belongs to God. Don't you know that? He praises God. They're looking for answers, and he basically gives them the answer. It's found in the person of God. You see, that is what enabled him to be a stoic man. To be unmovable during trying times because he kept praising the Lord. He kept recognizing God. But there's a second thing we find. Not only that did he praise God, but he profited man. Notice in verse number 8, and Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. You see, Joseph's mentality at this time was this. I want to help you. Would you tell me the dreams? Now, this seems interesting because I would think in that moment, Joseph would say, I need your help. I have been falsely accused. I have been sold as a slave. By the way, what he said in verse 15, he could have said that when he first met them. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done. In other words, you see here, if you would, when we think about conversation with one another, when someone usually has a depressed conversation, often we chime in into the depression. When someone is upset about something, we kind of let them know how upset we are. And so here these two men are sitting there. They have a dream and they don't know the interpretation and they're frustrated. And so perhaps it would have been a moment for Joseph to say, you know what, I'm frustrated too. Because I was sold out of the Hebrew land, I was taken as a slave, and then I've been falsely accused and now I'm sitting here in prison with you. That's not what he does. Isn't that what we think would typically happen? But that's not what Joseph does. He says, tell me then, I pray you. Let me help you. Wow. And so we find that Joseph, his identification was clear. But there's a second thing we see about Joseph, and that is his interpretation was confirmed. You see, we find that Joseph asked the two chiefs in Pharaoh's palace to give him their dreams. Immediately, we may think such request to be nothing. But in view of Joseph's current circumstances, I believe it speaks volume of his character as we noted. Often people like to wallow in the mire and as a result they often miss the opportunity to be a blessing to others. One of the great tragedies in our lives is when we become consumed with our difficulties that we forsake the opportunity to be a blessing to others. We allow our problems to get in the way and to consume us, and as a result, we cannot see the problems in other people's lives. Joseph could have thought, as I said, someone needs to help me. All I have ever done was assist and help others. That's all I've ever done. And look where it got me. You see, no. Joseph immediately saw an opportunity to help, and he did. I want you to see two things here about his interpretation being confirmed. First of all, we see the declaration of the interpretation. There are two things here that, and this again speaks to Joseph in his Mandarin this time, because notice the declaration of the interpretation. As we have previously noted, Joseph's faithfulness through difficult times is certainly commendable. We find that Joseph had to declare a positive message to the one and then a negative message to the other. Now, again, notice verse 9. The Bible says, "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him," this is the interpretation of it, "the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee." And so we find here that Joseph delivers good news. This is good news. He gives this chief butler the interpretation of the dream, and it's good news. So Joseph delivered good news. But also, we move to verse number 16 down to verse 19, and he speaks to the chief baker, and notice the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, and he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head." And so we know that Joseph gives the interpretation as the fowls comes and take the meat out of the basket, and he basically says after 3 days, Pharaoh is going to hang you. And so Joseph delivered bad news. He did both. You see, I believe that as a testament and testimony to Joseph's steadfastness during this time in the declaration of the interpretation. Because this is what it tells us about Joseph. He declared the truth. That's what he did. It didn't matter whether they would like it or not. He just gave it to them. You know, he could have said when he got to the baker, when he heard the dream, he said, "Oh, that's not good. Well, we'll see what happens." He said, "This is the interpretation. It's bad news. You're going to die." But he delivered the news. John Butler put it this way. As you think about Joseph's life, he says, "In sonship, Joseph was faithful to Jacob. In slavery, Joseph was faithful to Potiphar. In seduction, Joseph was faithful to God. In slander, Joseph was faithful to grace. In suffering, Joseph was faithful to patience. And here, in speech, Joseph was faithful to truth." He spoke the truth, whether it was good news or bad news. So we find here the declaration of the interpretation, but also, secondly, we find the reception of the interpretation. There's two things about these two men that we find here as Joseph delivers the interpretation of those dreams. First of all, we see that the chief butler wanted to be prepared. And by the way, I believe that there's two ways that we can receive a message. The first way is we want to hear because we want to be prepared. I believe that's the right reception of a message from God. Verse 9, notice, "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me." So notice here, we have an indication that later the baker, after he saw that the dream was good, he wanted it. But this man, the chief butler, wanted the interpretation whether it was good news or bad news. There's a difference. You see that between those two? One wanted to be prepared, while the other one wanted to be pleased. Notice verse 16. "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream." You see the difference between those two men? Joseph said, "Tell me your dream." Well, the chief butler says, "Well, let me tell you my dream. I just want to be prepared. I want to know what the message is." While the chief baker, I may like this, so let me hear it. You see, there's two ways that we can anticipate a message from God. We can either just want to hear so that we can be prepared, or we want to hear something because we think it will please us. You see, there are two things that we can do during such times. And I believe that this, as we look at the life of Joseph, we can see as we ask ourselves, well, what do we do during times when we are faithful to God, but we seem ignored and forgotten of men? There's two things that we can do for ourselves, and that is this. First of all, we need truth declared.
and we need truth received.
What is it that can help us most in moments like this, when Joseph had this great burden of being betrayed, of being banned, of going through this difficult time? He kept declaring the truth, and he received the truth. We see one was willing to receive, the other one was not, until he thought it was good news. But there's one more thing we notice in our text, and that is his invocation was called for. You see, Joseph, we find his identification was clear, his interpretation was confirmed, but finally his invocation was called for. In verse number 3, if we go back to the passage and look at the passage as a whole, notice in verse 3, and he put them in a ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So Joseph is given a word from Potiphar and saying, the chief of the bakers and the chief of the butlers are coming to the prison and you're in charge of keeping them. And in that moment, probably Joseph thought to himself, okay, this is a good opportunity. I want you to notice two things here about Joseph's invocation. First of all, his hopefulness was fueled. In verse number 14 and 15, right after he gives the good interpretation, Joseph knows that the chief butler is going to be restored. And so in that moment, Joseph said to himself, this could be the opportunity, this could be God's opportunity for me to have word go on to Pharaoh so that I can get out of this place. Notice what he says in verse 14. After he declares that, he says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. You see, Joseph knew who he was dealing with. He knew that this butler would be in contact with Pharaoh. And he says, you need to remember me when you go visit Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. And here's the reason why, according to verse number 15. So understand, Joseph's invocation was called for. It was appropriate. If you were an innocent man, would you not say, I need to get out of this place? And Joseph says, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing, and they should put me into the dungeon. You see, this invocation was called for, but you see, his hopefulness was fueled at that moment because he thought to himself, this could be the opportunity that God has for me to get out of this place. You see, Joseph saw a hopeful connection that might deliver him from the dungeon. It seems that Joseph knew that God had allowed these men to be cast into prison for his benefit. You see, Joseph was expecting God to work. Now, we know that that is true based on our text. It wasn't just Joseph's timing. It would be 2 years after the butler's release that word would come to Pharaoh. Because the Bible tells us they forgot about him. But you see, in that moment, Joseph recognized that this could be not. You see, Joseph, his perspective during this time is this. God is doing a work. And this could be the opportunity that God is using for me to come in contact with these men and to interpret the dream. And so God has given me a wonderful opportunity. So his hopefulness was fueled. But secondly, his helpfulness was forgotten. Notice verse 23. He gives the interpretation for the baker, and we know the baker is going to lose his head and the birds are going to eat his flesh. Pharaoh's going to hang him, and we know that that is exactly what happened. The butler has been restored. The baker has died. As, verse 22, as Joseph had interpreted to them. And verse 23, yet. This is the great dilemma. We thought, you know, the hopeless was fueled. This is the opportunity. And yet, in that opportunity, did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. What a blow. Isn't that a blow? At that moment, let's just pretend for just a moment we don't know the rest of the story. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know that 2 years is going to expire. At that moment here, it's been a day, a few days, a few weeks, a few months. It's been over a year. And Joseph is still in prison. Wait a minute, he's been faithful to God. Do you see we've identified his character? We've saw Joseph. His identification was clear. It was unmistakable that he was a man of God. His interpretation was confirmed, but at the same time, his invocation was called for. Joseph did everything right. Just forgotten.
As Christians, we must all get to the place where we must not seek to do what we do to be remembered of men. Because the truth is, the world does not care for the people of God. The world actually forgets everything that the believers have ever done. They're unimportant to them. You see, now, in that moment, this is a good reflection of the world as we think about this butler, because when things were bad for him, he wanted the young man Joseph, the godly young man, to help him. But as soon as everything went well, he forgot all about him. That's often how people treat church and Christianity. Things go bad. Well, let's be in church. Let's read our Bibles. Let's ask help and prayer from the Christian. But as soon as everything's good, you kind of forget all about that. Such is the pattern of the world. But you see, Joseph, through it all, was faithful to God and forgotten of man. That is the reality of our life in this world. I remember a story that I heard. My dad would often quote this story. I don't know if it was in a message or he told this to us as children. And I remember he describes the story of a missionary who had served in Africa for many years. And then the President of the United States of America had gone on a hunting trip there in Africa. And this missionary was retiring. He had left the field and he was on the same boat with the President who had been hunting. And the boat arrives on the port and there's thousands of people that are gathered, and then everybody's clapping and waving their flags and shouting, and everybody and the missionary thought, wow, this is amazing. But as he unboards the ship, he finds that nobody was there to greet him. Everybody was there waiting for the President of the United States to come home. Everybody was shouting his name. Everybody was glad to see him come back. And the missionary thought to himself, well, this is a terrible deal. Here I've been. I've served in Africa for all those centuries, for all those decades. I've been faithful to God all those years. And there's nobody that's going to come to greet me here. And the President goes on a hunting trip, and everybody greets him back and welcomes him home. As they exited the boat and they went to the hotel room, the missionary was venting, and his godly wife was sitting there and basically told the missionary husband, she says, but you are not home yet. You see, he thought he had to get the praise in that moment. Had to expecting at least somebody to say thank you for your service and your faithfulness. But the truth is, the world will forget you, as the world forgot that missionary. But there's somebody that does not forget you. And that is God. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 6. In Hebrews chapter number 6, I believe we have words of encouragement here to those believers. Again, think about the believers in the book of Hebrews who were going through persecution. Some of them under intense persecution from their family members in the communities. And here in Hebrews chapter number 6, notice what he says in verse number 10. The Bible says here, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You see that? Let's read that again. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Here's the next part. Which ye have shown towards His name. You see, we serve God not to make a name for ourselves. We serve God for His name. We do not seek to get the recognition of the world. We seek to get God's recognition. We live so that we can please God. The Bible says in verse number 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, those believers needed to find encouragement in the fact that they were serving God. And the Bible says God is not unrighteous. The world is unrighteous, is it not? The world doesn't write a larger story in the newspaper and says, look at these missionaries coming back. Every time a missionary comes back from the mission field, they don't highlight those missionaries. They don't care about those. They're forgotten of the world. But while they're forgotten of the world, God does not forget. He is not unrighteous.
to forget our labor of love for His name. I want you to go with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter number 20. Throughout the Psalms, you find really the same dilemma that is found in some of the psalmists here who are basically saying, we've served you, we served the Lord, but has this done anything? Well, notice here in Psalm chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, that are brought down and fallen, but are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Notice verse 8 again. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Why? Because we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In Psalm 132, there's one more here that we can think briefly by consideration here in Psalm chapter 132. Notice here the Bible says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. You see here, what is he talking about here? This is David in his affliction. God remembers David in his affliction. And the truth is there that God does not forget. And so may the Lord help us. As we look at Joseph one more time, right before 2 years are going to expire, faithful to God and forgotten of man. At first I thought the title should be faithful to God but forgotten of man. No, it's not a contrast, it's a fact. Joseph was faithful to God, and he was forgotten of man. And so is our lives. We must be faithful to God. We will be forgotten of man. That's the truth. We can't live for the accolades of the world. We can't live for the approval of the world. The world doesn't understand. As a matter of fact, we think about church, why Christians are pressing to get back in church. The world doesn't get it. They don't understand. They don't see what God has done in the lives of people. I remember writing in the letter to the governor, what troubled me was the whole idea of liquor stores being open. To me, I said that is offensive to the people of this congregation. Because we have people in this very congregation who've been delivered from the addiction of alcohol. God delivered them from that. That's what God has done. And these same people want to be in church. They don't care anymore about the liquor store. They want to be in church. You see, when we come to this thing, we have to focus as Joseph did. Chaos. I mean, we would say, everything's out of control for Joseph. He's doing everything right, and everything is going wrong. He was faithful to God, forgotten of the world. Now, in due time, Joseph will reap. What's the verse tells us? In due time we shall reap if we faint not. There's so many times Joseph could have fainted and just quit. I've tried this too long. I've tried serving God. I've tried to do this. I've tried to do it right. And every time I seem to be cast down deeper and deeper and deeper. But he was unwavering, steadfast to the end. And then finally, in the depths, when he could not go any lower than where he was, God brought him to the highest place he could attain in Egypt because of the man he was. And may the Lord help us to be faithful to God, as we know we will be forgotten of men. Let's live to please God, not to receive the accolades of men. Let's pray.